Sam McBride, you've been around politics a long time. How does this all feel to you?
Well, I think we're entering a new era here. Naomi Long touched on one of the wider issues here in terms of the Speaker. In past mandates, the Speaker was from a party, yes, that was of the Executive, but most Assembly parties were in the Executive. Now we've got an opposition. We've increasingly got the Assembly as the forum to hold the Executive to account. The opposition have clearly been getting frustrated over the last couple of months. They feel that Robin Newton and some of the other rulings from the Speaker's chair have not been in their favour. And I think that this, to a certain extent, is bringing out into the open something that has been bubbling beneath the surface. And I think we are going to see much more frequent clashes between the opposition and the Speaker. And as Naomi Long touched on there, there's not a massive amount they can do about this, because ultimately the DUP and Sinn Féin decide who will be Speaker. They decide who will be his deputy in terms of the principal deputy Speaker. And there's not really very much they can do about that. They have the numbers in the chamber and they can appoint whoever they want.
Is Robin Newton harmed by this, Sam?
I think he's certainly harmed by this. I think that if on Friday he had released everything that he has released until now, and everything that we now know in terms of his involvement with SIF and with the Charter NI organisation, it would have been far, far better. The Assembly, it has to be said, is generally far more transparent in my dealings with them than the Executive. I was surprised in terms of how they reacted to this. Ultimately, they are now starting to give us some information about this, but I think that the perception that he was reluctant to divulge this, and just going back to whether he should have declared this as a declarable interest, it may be that if he has now left any role whatsoever, any link that he had with Charter, that he didn't have to declare that in terms of his written register. But when this came before him, he, I think, should either have declared it orally in the chamber, or he could have declared it in a written letter to Nicola Mallon, just to be absolutely clear about it. But clearly at that point, he realised there was a problem, because he took a decision that he would never put himself in this position again.
But why did he continue with the decision, Sam, on the 24th of October? He blocked the question knowing that he wouldn't do it again. So why was it right for him to do it the first time?
Well, I think that is where, as Naomi Long and Nicola Mallon have been saying, there will be questions about his judgment, because Northern Ireland is a pretty small place. Yes, this was an urgent oral question, but it's not that difficult to get hold of one of the deputy speakers, either around Stormont in terms of the building or in the mobile phone. It could have been quite straightforward to get someone else to take this decision. He obviously made a decision himself that he would take the decision, but presumably instantly regretted it and thought, I will never do this again.
What is it, Sam, about this social investment fund? What is it that it is opening up so many questions for people like ourselves, that there is this situation where steering groups have some of the same people on them giving to essentially their own organisations public money? What is it about the social investment fund that there was no tendering process between a steering group and a lead partner, even when that tendering process, which didn't exist, many would argue should have been making sure it was competitive, involving millions of pounds of our public money? What is it about this social investment fund that is so unusual?
Well, I find it extraordinary, first of all, that the Executive has got itself into this position, because the key criticism by many people, as well as the allegation at the start by the smaller parties that it was a slush fund, which was rejected by the Executive, the key allegation was that this was being delayed and delayed and delayed. And the answer that came back from Stormont Castle was, we're trying to get it right. We don't want to rush into it. We want to get it right. And it seems very clear now that they didn't get it right in certain aspects, certainly in terms of the view of Sir Alistair Graham. This was a very unusual, a very irregular way to approach public spending.
He called it absurd. He called elements of it absurd.
He did. And, I mean, he has been around this for a very long time, that this sort of issue. I think it's very difficult to understand, first of all, that. It's secondly very difficult to understand why Arlene Foster, as someone who came in after Peter Robinson, who was not responsible for the setting up of this fund, and who to a certain extent has a bit of a clean slate on this issue, why she is shackling herself quite significantly to the arrangements that have been put in place. And in terms of the situation with DSTIT, I mean, you know, she was seemingly announcing that he had gone and that she was welcoming that, then seemingly rolling back on that. I mean, I find that surprising, because he is clearly a very, very difficult person for them to deal with.
Well, we now have a situation in Northern Ireland in which Martin McGuinness is calling for a leader of the UDA to step down from his position as CEO. The exact words are reconsider his position. Meanwhile, Arlene Foster wants to remain neutral on whether a CEO who is described as a leader of the UDA should be in Charter NI. Charter NI, she stood beside Mr. Stitt, handing over a cheque of our money, public money, and written on it, £1.7 million. That was the cheque she was handing over to a leader of the UDA. Now, why is she remaining neutral on that? Is she going to say that she wouldn't know, that she didn't know that he was a leader of the UDA? That would presumably be her position. But it is BBC Spotlight's position that he is a leader of the UDA. Why is she remaining neutral?
I mean, just to clarify there, Les, someone gets in touch with him. There actually physically wasn't a cheque in the picture, but, I mean, the money was certainly being transferred and she was pictured smiling beside D-Stead. I mean, I think that...
That's my mistake then. I apologise for that if there wasn't a cheque. I thought
there
was.
It's really neither here nor there, to be honest. But, I mean, I think that he is clearly somebody who was in the public domain months ago. At the start of this year, BBC Spotlight made very serious allegations that he was a member of the UDA. The DUP were aware of those allegations because they involved the DUP and there was a response from the DUP in that programme. So I think it's inconceivable that she didn't know these allegations. The argument coming back from the executive office in terms of that fairly unusual briefing note which they issued last week was that he hadn't been convicted of membership. He does have a past conviction for something else, but he hasn't been convicted of membership. And are you saying that because there are allegations about him that we shouldn't fund him? Well, I think that it has to be said, is a very different approach. Yeah. To the approach that the DUP takes.
Mr. Stitt, by the way, denies that he's in the UDA.
Well, I mean, he said various things. I mean, just several years ago, he was very clear that he was linked to the UDA. He may well be saying otherwise now. But, I mean, I think that the DUP approach to someone like Gerry Adams, for instance, who has never been convicted of membership of the IRA, is absolutely unambiguous. They laugh at the suggestion that he was never in the IRA. So I don't think it's good enough for them to suggest that somehow or other your programme is simply obsessed by this. There's clearly a very serious issue of public interest if a paramilitary leader is getting money from the government.
All right, Sam, thank you very much. And thank you for putting me right. No check in that picture. So that's my bad. I'm sorry for that. The Speaker's office, back to the Speaker. They have said that the Speaker will not be handling any other questions about the Social Investment Fund in East Belfast. He will not be handling any other questions about Charter NI. But here's the news. The Speaker, we can tell you, will be making a commentary, will be making an announcement to the Assembly Chamber at the start of plenary business today. So that we can tell you.